Hi, Lisa. This is Michael. I am sorry that it took me a few days to get back to you. I just have been behind on a few recordings, and every once in a while, one slips through the crack on me. So I wanted to get back to you. Wow, really neat that you got to take a visit to India. And of course, yes. The first time it was culture shock for me, 4 months ago when I came the first time, when Persis and I got married 4.5 months ago. Yes, I was an absolute culture shock. I mean, I don't have to explain it to you. You saw it firsthand yourself. And I was really, really saddened over the condition of the people. I mean, it was just brutal for me to see this. And, you know, I kind of got the inside scoop because I married an Indian woman. So she was able to tell me a lot of the things that you can't see when you're just visiting and, you know, you see it with tourist eyes. So I became even more upset. But I tell you, this trip has been such an amazing time. God has given me so much grace, and I really have started to enjoy it, and I'm starting to feel like I belong here. It's amazing. I have a few locals who see us. We go out to the stores here quite a bit and make little rounds, and we go for exercise, and I love smiling at the people because they don't greet one another typically, and they don't smile so much at all. So I really enjoy smiling at them. And I've had some really neat experiences where an older man will come walking by with his wife, and I try to smile, and he doesn't even acknowledge me. He's kind of caught off guard by it. But then when they pass me back, it happened tonight, as a matter of fact, they see me smiling, and then they'll smile in advance of me seeing them so that I know they are smiling at me. It's just really neat. And was walking down the street the other day, and we walked through the middle of a street, and this group of kids were playing like ball, and they got out of our way, and this one kid looked at me. He said, "Praise the Lord." And my wife and I were just so blessed. It was actually last Sunday. My wife explained to me that because I have white skin and I'm from, you know, America, they think all Americans are Christians. Unfortunately, they're just as deceived as you can possibly imagine in that way. So, but anyhow, yeah, it's going really, really well. Just, I love the lowliness of it all. I mean, God has really touched my heart and helped me to have some really rich experiences that I could have never had in my heart, had it not been for India. And I'm actually already dreading going back to America. It's really crazy. It's a long story. It's not something probably I should try to explain to you now, but the lowliness is so appealing to me, and the dependence upon Christ, you know, his strength being made perfect in our weakness. So anyhow, I have just been having the most amazing time. It's incredible. My wife and I, we just love it. I mean, we really just love being with each other and what God is doing. And we're so busy with ministry and helping people, and the stories that are coming in are just amazing. So we're totally blessed beyond what we can even put into words. Okay, enough about that. My first red flag for you is you're maybe depending too much on dreams. Dreams are so subjective to your own imagination. They are so subjective to the devil and all of his minions. I mean, if Persis and I just told you our dreams for 1 month, you would laugh. You would have comic relief probably for the next year. We get attacked by the devil more in our dreams than we ever get anything from God. I mean, he literally sometimes tries to fillet us like a fish. It's like he's a cheater. He can't get us when we're awake so much, so he attacks us in our sleep. And so we see that a lot. The Lord has blessed us so much this trip. That's not been so much of an issue. But, you know, we're on the front lines for the kingdom of Christ. So when the cheater can try to get one up on us, he does. And sometimes we enjoy hearing how the devil has used dreams. So I'll tell you this. I'll boldly tell you, I hear from the Father virtually every day. I mean, every single thing I'm doing, God guides and directs me. Mostly he speaks to me through his word. I'll just give you one example. Most recently, I was reading in the word. I was compelled to read the feeding of the 5,000 story. And when it came to the part where Jesus says, collect all 12 bulls. They had 12 bulls remain. Go collect all that remains. Let nothing be wasted. The Holy Spirit spoke immediately to me a message about that and immediately called to mind all these recordings that I've made for hundreds of people that I've always prayed and asked the Father to give me bread from heaven. Each time, even including this recording, I've prayed silently and said, Lord, please give me some bread from heavens for Lisa, some insight into her situation. And I always depend upon the Father so that I can then give you the bread. Sometimes people are absolutely shocked at either scriptures I quote or things that I tell them because that actually had already been what God was trying to work on them about. I mean, it's just incredible. However, the point is, the number one way that God speaks to me is through these scriptures. So I was sitting there and the Lord was reminding me of the bread from heaven that I asked him for. And it's like the Lord showed me right then and there, I am allowing some bread to be wasted. Let nothing be wasted. So take these recordings and begin to share, because this is bread that came down from heaven and it doesn't just apply to the person that I shared the recording with. So I'm actually in the process of reprocessing that bread, if you will, to share with other people so other people can be blessed. So that's a way that God speaks. God also uses providentially ways to guide me to specific scriptures. In all the years I've been doing this, everything I have, including my amazing wife in the other room, you can't imagine how much I had to hear from God. I mean, she will tell you there's no way this could happen had I not been able to hear from God very specifically at very specific times. We had obstacles that we had to go through and I needed to know, Father, what do you want us to do about this guy? What do we do? Are we supposed to go around him? Are we supposed to go through him? Are we supposed to go to a different place? We had to hear. Hiring an attorney for the visa process, the Lord made it very clear, do not hire an attorney. The next day, someone contacts me from Florida. They had all the resources I need to get started. Just a story after story after story of I had to learn how to hear. For years, I've been learning how to hear God so that he can give me very specific guidance. Now it's incredible what he does. He'll give me guidance right before I make a phone call to somebody, or I'll be in the middle of praying sometimes for somebody on a recording, and I'll have to interrupt myself and say, let me tell you what I just heard in the spirit for you. And all it is just this very strong, strong impression that comes on me, not consciously from my mind. It overtakes me rather than me trying to, you know, drum it up in my mind. And I'll share it with the person and then they'll say, Mike, you're not going to believe this. This just happened to me last night. And I say, well, I will believe it. And I did a message about this, if you'd like to hear it, called About Hearing God. I don't remember what it was called, but something about how to hear God. And it's on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, Hearing God. If you type that in on my YouTube channel, it was an hour long message that, believe it or not, I made to my wife before she became my wife, before I even knew she was going to be my wife. Michael, commentary. Try to join me in getting your natural, rational mind around what's happening in this recording. This recording is being made to Lisa in New Zealand, who becomes Lisa in the next room right now while I'm making this recording all these years later and editing this recording that I made for her back in 2016. I mean, this is just amazing to me. Have you ever been to one of those like circus houses where you step in and they have that weird mirror thing where there's a mirror like in front of you and behind you? So when you look into the mirror, you see like an infinite replication of yourself just going as far as you can possibly see. I don't know if you've ever been amazed by that, but sometimes I look at that and I'm like, what? How is that possible? Or maybe like seeing yourself in a screen capture on your screen recording and you can see an infinite number of you just going as far back into the distance until your eye can't see. It's a weird phenomenon. This is even more weird. Here I am in this recording. I'm in India living with my second spouse, Persis, who I had waited over 5 years for. God did all these miracles to put me into, and I was so happy. I mean, life was brighter than noonday sun. It was just such an incredible time of redemption and blessing for me. I was so happy being married to Persis and living in India and having these experiences. It was just incredible. So now,
I am now speaking in a recording in 2016 to Lisa, who's going to become my third wife after the wife I'm with right then falls away into apostasy and never comes back from it. Now, I'm telling Lisa, my future wife, in this recording about hearing God. Remember, her question is about hearing God. Today's category is about hearing God. And I'm now beginning to tell her about another recording she should listen to, which incidentally is now episode 13 in this series, Table in the Wilderness, that I made for Persis about hearing God. So I'm telling Lisa, who's asked me about hearing about God, about a message I made for Persis about hearing God, having no idea that Persis was going to become my wife, and now having no idea Lisa is going to be my wife after Persis goes apostate. While we say God is mysterious, we say he is wonderful and he works wonders because they make you wonder. We say his ways are higher than the heavens are above the earth. And the doxology that Paul wrote in the book of Romans says that his ways are beyond tracing out. How unsearchable are the depth and the riches of God's wisdom. And I see situations like this and I just say, wow, God, wow, wow. Brothers and sisters, in the other room for me right now, working on the ministry with me, right beside me at the kitchen table, is my wife, Lisa, while I'm editing this recording. And when I reflect back on God's promises to me during the time that Persis was in her apostasy and she had left, and I kept seeing verses of scripture about resurrection, that it would be to me according to my faith and that I would not be put to shame, that God would deliver me in this. And the whole time, God kept hidden from me the meaning of that, just like he did with the apostles when he tells them that the Son of Man must be betrayed by this generation and he must be killed. And then on the third day, he will rise. Remarkably, right after you read that in the book, it says, but this was hidden from them. God hid the meaning of this from them. And now I can tell you, looking back, wow, did God hide the meaning of what resurrection meant, of me not being put to shame meant. I could only reason that if I was not going to be put to shame, it was that Persis was coming back to Jesus and to me. The only outworking of resurrection that I could see in the promises God was giving me was Persis coming back from the spiritual dead. I couldn't see any other possibilities. And now when I walk hand in hand with my wife, when I sit here at the table watching Lisa walk beside me now in this ministry, contributing to it with real life and real grace of Christ in a way that Persis never did or never could, never was interested in it, boy, do I see no one who trusts in me will ever be put to shame. Boy, do I see resurrection life over spiritual death. Boy, do I see God's redemption. Boy, do I see God's mysterious, unthinkable, untraceable ways that so many people stumble over. The natural mind of man, when you read the Bible, you cannot get your head around the natural things. You cannot get your head around the things that God allows to happen in the Bible naturally. It takes faith to walk with this God. This is incredible. So I just wanted to take a moment and pause and let you know that the recording that I'm speaking to Lisa about is episode 13 that I had made for Persis. But trying to get my head around the fact that I'm telling my future wife, wow, I have to just leave that one to wonders I cannot fathom. End of commentary. She had some questions about hearing God speak, and I took the time to take a whole recording and shared many, many examples of how God has spoken to me. I encourage you to get that. Now, in all these years, 7 years of absolute surrender to God, there's only really two times that I can look back and tell you definitively that God spoke to me in a dream. And in fact, what happened in the dream actually happened in real life. Part of it came true. So God prophetically shared something with me in a dream that then came true.
rarely does this happen. I mean, this is so rare. One of them was my life was falling apart. And God did, he knew that the devil was getting ready to come after me because he was going to allow it. And God gave me a dream to warn me. It was a warning dream, just like he did three times for Joseph and Mary. So I am very, very skeptical of this dream stuff because it's so entirely subjective. When we have the written word of God, which has everything we need to live godly in Christ Jesus, we just need God's help sometimes to guide us to, Lord, what's your word say? And trust me when I tell you, Lisa, God knows how to guide you to as exactly to the exact verse that he needs to guide you to. And I just want you to be very, very cautious. It took me years to learn how to distinguish the Father's voice over my own. I was dating one woman after my divorce. I dated one woman for about 6 months. And the whole relationship, I was compromising. And I did not realize it. The Lord kept trying to speak to me and kept showing me Luke 11:11. And I wasn't realizing what was going on here. And at the end of it, some person falsely prophesied to me. This was at a time when I was still a part of this charismatic mess church that I was in, where all these false prophets, and I was open to that kind of stuff because I was exploring, wow, Lord, am I missing anything? This was 5 years ago. You know, Lord, am I missing anything in you know, my walk with you? So anyhow, long story short, this guy prophesies, oh, you're going to get back with your girlfriend. I just know it. You know, the Lord has told me this. You're going to get back with your girlfriend. Well, so about maybe a month went by and we're still struggling, having these problems. And I'm sitting out on the porch one morning and I could have sworn that I heard one morning when I was writing out some questions on my notepad, I could have sworn that I heard God say, you're going to get back with her. It's going to be some time. I'm doing a work in her just like I did in you. Lisa, it was 100% my own imagination. It was my own imagination. Okay. And I cannot tell you how this is so frustrating for me. How many times I hear people say, the Lord told me, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me this. I almost want to say, when's the last time you were in your Bible? How much time do you spend reading that Bible? You get an awful lot of the Lord told me's, but when's the last time you were actually in his word, obeying what his revealed word is? Michael commentary. Let me share another little story with you that will help make the point about how important it is to be careful about dreams. And at the same time, I want to be balanced. I want people to know that Lisa and I have both had dreams where we know that God gave us these dreams, and often they were letting us know of something that was going to happen in the future. For example, we both believe that we had dreams that indicated, separate of each other, that indicated we would end up being put together. I had one the very night that we had our very first Skype call. And later I would realize that is clearly a dream from the Lord. And then perhaps you guys have heard about the dream I had about the cockroach and the goldfish in the series Never Let Go. And 3 days after I have that goldfish cockroach prophetic dream about basically the hypocrisy in Carrie, she becomes revealed. Her true motives become revealed and her true nature begins to be being seen in that Discord app where her and Matthew 24:11 and all those people were at. So these are clear indications that dreams can be prophetic. But let me show you, here's an example. I received this email on January 6th, 2021. It's from an Indian sister. So you might imagine I paid very close attention to this. It says, subject, dream about Persis. Now, this is exactly 8 months and 15 days after Persis left our home. And you can imagine I'm wanting so bad to have any evidence, anything I can see that will tell me she's coming back like I'm believing. Now, listen to this dream. Hello, Brother Michael. I had a dream this morning as I was waking up around 6:30 a.m., in my dream, and specifically she says 6:33 a.m. Hello, Brother Michael. I had a dream this morning as I was waking up around 6:33 a.m. In my dream, I saw you with a big smile. Behind that, I saw a graph starting at the bottom going up
with its ups and its downs. Then I saw Persis in the background standing and wishing that she didn't tell you she is moving on with her life. Then I saw her face with a mask covering her mouth. I had this dream and I just wanted to share with you. Now you might imagine when I got this email, I thought, oh yes, this is the Lord encouraging me to help me to see that Persis is starting to regret. She's starting to feel a desire to repent of what she's done by leaving. This dream caused me to believe that Persis was now having regret and that she was going to come on and that she was beginning to regret it. End of commentary.
And so I was in a moment of desperate need. I know what it's like. I was in a moment of chaos in my head, and I wasn't thinking clearly, and I was desperate, and I was in pain. And I heard in my own corrupt imagination exactly what I wanted to hear. Okay? But the Lord was already trying to actually show me a completely different word. He was trying to show me Luke 11:11. Which of you fathers, if his son asked for a fish, would give him a snake? Lisa, your ex-husband is a snake in God's eyes. You got to get this. If he told you he's going to restore him and turn him around, so be it. Have I ever seen that? No. I have seen very, very few instances. I mean, I say never. Yes, I've seen, I guess, a couple. It's very rare. 9 out of 10 people are absolutely convinced. Guess who else? Just like me. I was convinced of the exact same thing in my marriage. Oh, she's going to wake up in the middle of the night. She's going to realize what she did. She's going to come back. She's going to realize what a huge mistake. She doesn't realize what she lost. Okay. Oh, man, I got to be careful. I could go down this road so long. Hold it loosely. Trust God. If God's going to do it, wait for him to act in your behalf, Lisa. Let it go. All right. The Bible says this about exes like the one I had and the one you had. This is what God says. All right. Your ex-husband right now is a child of the devil. You say, wow, Michael, that's strong. Well, that's the word of God strong. Okay. That's undiluted word of God. 1 John 3:6-10. You can read it yourself. John, the great apostle, says himself, this is how you, Lisa, can know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does what is right is righteous as he is righteous. Anyone who does what is wrong is of the devil. No one who lives in him continues to sin. They cannot do so, for God's seed lives in him. In Romans 8:8-10, it says, no one who lives according to the sinful nature can please him. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God is in you. So we see this black and white. A person who is controlled by the sinful nature, like your ex-husband, is living under the influence and the control of the devil. You're not to be unequally yoked. So what would have to happen is God would have to do a miraculous opening of the eyes. Can he do it? Absolutely. Does he usually do it? No. If he does it, it's exceptionally rare. It's exceptionally rare that the situation you've described with your ex, that he would turn from it. You know something? My wife and I have recently been talking about how we recognize the Bible says that the wicked go astray from birth. And even in the womb, they're committed to doing evil. And we've also been starting to see how God speaks of good hearts, like Luke 8:15. The seed that falls on the good soil stands for those who with a noble and good heart hear the word of God, retain the word of God, and by persevering, produce a crop. And my wife asked me, she said, honey, can you think of any really evil person in the Bible that ever turned around? And I said, wow, sweetheart, there's none. There's none. When you look at the Cains and you look at the Abels, when you look at the King Ahabs and the Asas and these guys, the answer is no, they never turned. They had wicked, evil hearts. Now, everybody is a sinner. And yeah, there's guys out there that are capable of doing drugs and sexing and drinking and drugging and turning from it. But deep inside, they had a good heart. They were simply operating in the sin nature, and they were simply trying to have fun and pleasure, the pursuit of things in this life. Maybe they were trying to mask pains from childhood wounds. But the Bible speaks that There's a need actually for a good heart. We started to realize this. There are some people who are never going to turn. That's why Jesus could speak so authoritatively to the Pharisees and say, how will you ever escape hell? They weren't. They had hardened hearts, obstinate and hard hearts. And yes, God can melt those hearts. God can do that. But just something to think about. You know, if you was your husband somebody ever who did evil like me? No, I did evil things, but I'm not evil. I made mistakes, but it was out of character for me. It was more my folly. I wasn't somebody who ever tried to really intentionally hurt somebody. And I don't know what his heart's like, but that's something to think about. Okay. But the final thing that I'll share with you is part of fully surrendering to Christ is denying yourself. So deny yourself this outcome. One of the best lessons I'm learning is to almost have God push me out the door. I went from being the guy who was always ahead of the Lord and always out running the race like a horse, had no understanding, and God had to control me by bit and bridle. I went from being that to now almost the Lord having to push me into things because I wait for God to act in my behalf. God will act in your behalf. So just hold it loosely. Move on with your life. Get the oxygen mask firmly in place on you. Look out for your Christianity, remembering that Jesus said, I didn't come to bring a peace, but sword. I came to divide. Remember that Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Your house was divided. And remember that Paul says you cannot marry an unbeliever. Your ex-husband is an unbeliever, so you can't get back with him until, as John the Baptist would say, he produces fruit in keeping with repentance. So in other words, your husband not only has to convert and come to Christ, but in order for you to be eligible to remarry him, he has to actually produce fruit in keeping with repentance. It can't just be, oh, honey, I went to the church tonight and got saved. Really? All right, great. Let me see a life change. Let me see the fruit, and then we'll know if it was a true conversion. So that would be what the biblical thing is for you. How you find out if you're hearing from God? Have faith in the final outcome, regardless of what it is, and wait for God to act in your behalf. If he clearly tells you to move forward in something, move forward in something. But ask yourself your motive. Well, you know, check your motives in with the Father. All right. There's all kinds of things. Please bear with me. I'm so tired. I probably shouldn't have started to try to make this recording, but I wanted to get back to you and not have you wait another day. So hold it loosely. Hold it loosely. Hold it loosely. Let it go and grab a hold of Jesus. Okay. Don't waste a bunch of time looking in the rearview mirror. A man said to me one time, he said, Michael, do you want to continue the death grip? And my God, were these prophetic words. This man came up to me. I was speaking at a college, and he came up to me. He says, I need to talk to you. 2 weeks later, I had dinner with him, and he told me this unbelievable divorce story and child custody story he went through for 7 years. And he says to me, Mike, do you want to continue the death grip? That which is dead from your past. Or do you want to open up your hands, face forward, and receive God's very best for you in the future? It was so compelling to me what he said that I actually got my phone out and said, will you just say what you just said again? And I recorded him saying it. That man spoke truth into my life. I needed to learn how to let go of that which God had taken from me. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Ask yourself this question. Did God really put your marriage together, Lisa? You shall know a tree by its fruit. How long did it take for you to find out that your husband's fruit was rotten? Was he ever a true Christian? Did he ever actually obey God? And if he did, and if he's tasted in the fellowship and he fell away, it's possible he might not ever come back. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the situation here is with him. So, I mean, was he ever a true God-fearing Christian? Or is this a guy that you married and then you became a Christian, or you just didn't know any better? I don't know what the story is there, but those are things to think about. Did God actually put this marriage together, or is this guy an Ishmael? See, my ex-wife was an Ishmael. She was my very best, and the devil helped me get his very best, not the Father's. I'll never forget the day I'm in the woods praying about the marriage. And I say, oh Lord, but you said, you know, what God has brought together, let no man separate. And the Holy Spirit spoke so clearly to me. I did not put this marriage together, Michael. You did. I didn't even understand that, Lisa. It took me a while to really understand that God will act in your behalf. God has a plan for your life, and this is why Jesus Christ wants us to fully surrender. And if you've acquired things, relationships, homes, careers, goals, hobbies, whatever you acquire in your life outside of God's will, He'll be pleased to strip it from you. He'll remove from your life anything you acquired outside of His will. And I can just tell you this, if God has removed him, do not be one to be death grip in that which God is telling you, okay? If you want to find enmity with God, here's how you do it. Now, he gives mercy for ignorance, okay? He understands that we don't always understand everything, but I'll tell you this. Supposing your ex-husband is evil, because he is, that's what you're telling me, is that he's doing these things, that means he's evil. He's walking in evil, all right? Now, if you call him good and God calls him evil, then you and him have enmity with each other. Enmity. You're in disagreement with God about the character of a person. That doesn't mean you shouldn't love him and witness to him and share the gospel with him and forgive him of all of his nonsense. But you at least need to call him the way God calls him. You see? Be really careful. And supposing God removed him from your life for a reason to set you free. To set you free. Supposing God doesn't ever want you to marry again. Supposing God wants to be your husband. I'm going to here to tell you, that may sound like ridiculous to you, but I tell you the truth. I told Father, Lord, you make me so happy, I don't even need a wife anymore. In spite of the fact that I had been waiting for, 4.5 years at that time when I told him this. Probably 4.5 years, four and a half years I've been waiting for this promise for a future wife. I delighted myself so much in the Lord. He made me so happy, filled me so much that I can tell you I have personal journal recordings where I've recorded today. I told the Lord, I don't even want a wife again. I don't need to be married. I'll be single for the rest of my life. I am so content and so happy. Lisa, that's where you have to get. Use this time to get so completely full of Lord Jesus Christ that he can allow your cup to overflow so that if he does put you back with your husband or with anybody, you can love them out of the overflow of God's love for you and your love for him. All right? And be really careful because the devil will do anything he can to help your own imagination to hear from God. When you want to hear what you want to hear, it's not hard to do so. Be very careful. Most of the times in the beginning when God would speak to me, he would tell me things I did not want to hear. Stop doing this. Start doing that. Let go of this. Act like this. Humble yourself in this. Deny yourself this way. Sacrifice this. It was a lot of things I didn't want to hear. I didn't get these amazing things for years where God would tell me some really good things were going to happen. And sister, I'm a guy who everything God has told me was going to happen in my life has happened. There's nothing the Father hasn't told me, has told me in my life that has not happened. And he's told me so many things and he tells me in advance. And then they happen. It's one of the evidences that you're walking with God. Jesus said in John 14:29, I tell you these things before they happen so that when they happen, you'll believe. May God bless you. Slow it down. Slow it down until you know and you have a track record of hearing God successfully. You need to put the treadmill on the slowest speed. Okay? My wife will tell you that when I hear from God, I hear from him immediately and I know exactly to go do right then and there. Okay? There's times when I know I need to wait and there's times when the Lord says, go now. But I've learned through hundreds of times over several years now, how to hear his voice, how to distinguish his voice over mine. It takes a lot of time. And until you know that you know that you know that you've heard from the Father, Lisa, you got to slow this train down. Let it be, you tell the Father, Lord, I'm out on hearing from my own imagination. I'm out on messing up. I'm out on putting words in your mouth. Lord, you are going to have to double, triple confirm this. And it has to be more than a dream, Lord, because the chemicals in my brain have their own agenda. And so does the devil. So, Lord, you're going to have to show it to me in some other way. Lord, through your providence, I'm just going to wait for you to make it so clear to me before I move. That's my advice. God bless you, sister. Good night.